You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Pelicans insider Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, credential member of the media, and guy basically just covering the team for the past, I don't know, it's like 7 or 8 years now. Here with you all on this really happy and likely freezing Wednesday for you here in New Orleans, day after the Pelicans get a shocking 116-113 overtime win over the Boston Celtics on the road. Great win for the Pels. And their best by far of the season. We're going to break this down for you all in the first segment of the podcast because there's too much going on here to not jump right into that. Secondly, want to talk and have some fun because it's such a great story, and this is one of the reasons why we and you and I and everyone love the NBA, and that's the crazy locker room fight, breach, whatever you want to call it, tactical black ops maneuvers that went on between the Clippers and Rockets Monday evening. Well, after most people had gone to bed. We're going to talk about that and then give you who I think is on the Pelicans distraction team and who's on the strike team, the breach team, if they were to try and invade an opponent's locker. After that, we'll just talk about whatever we have left. These two segments might be enough for really to cover all three in the podcast here today. We'll touch on the Hawks game maybe a little bit. Pelicans play on the second night of a back-to-back on the road in Atlanta tonight. And what might be a trap game, we'll talk about why, at least very briefly. So we got a lot to cover in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, brought to you by Draft. So this is the best win of the season by far for the Pelicans. I don't think there's any doubt about that one. And one of the big reasons is Anthony Davis going off for 45 points and 16 rebounds in 44 and a half minutes this game. This is on the heels of another 45-15 game before against the New York Knicks, both in overtime, but whatever. And I think he's the only player this season to go for 45 and 15 plus in back-to-back games or like at all. So it goes to show you how absolutely dominant he's been during the stretch. And look, this is what you wanted to see out of Anthony Davis. I've talked about that Woj article on here a bunch before. I talked about it on the radio the other day as well. And Davis has said, hey, I want to win more than anything. I'm not happy necessarily with how this has been going. And you've heard maybe the grumblings of him wanting to leave. But never has he really led by example quite like this. Davis came out firing to start the game, was absolutely dominant in the first quarter, and led by example. And when you play with that high of an energy, and play at that kind of level, it elevates your teammates because they do need to keep up with you. And that's what Davis did. In the first quarter alone, Davis was 6 of 9 from the field for 17 points. He led this team and led them by example and used that leadership that you've always wanted out of him but haven't quite seen consistently like this, where he's just saying, enough losing, let's go out and take care of business. That's what Davis did tonight. Look, there were rough stretches for the Pelicans. We'll talk about those. But Davis wasn't going to let this team lose. And late in the fourth, even when he looked very clearly tired, he was out there making buckets or trying to make buckets or at least getting to the free throw line, which is what he did in the fourth. He was gassed, and the Celtics were keen in on him. He got to the line, got 4 points, and just, again, kind of raised the energy level of this team. They needed him like this tonight. And they're going to need games like this from him because they cannot put it all together. The Celtics on the night were tremendous from three. They set a franchise record in three-pointers attempted and made. So that's not ideal. For the Pelicans to weather a storm like that is pretty impressive alone. The Celtics shot 38% from three. They hit 19 threes on 50 attempts. Pelicans hit 7 threes on 27%. Their scoring from that area is starting to dip and hasn't been what it was when they were number one in the league in three-point shooting percentage. And in the third quarter, when the game looked like it was going to slip from their hands, the Pelicans had a 12-point lead and basically allowed the game to get tied. in the around the middle of the third, the middle to later half of the third quarter, and it looked like this was the usual Pelicans we were going to see. They were giving up three-pointers, they were taking too many three-pointers, and getting away from what made them so successful in the first half and allowed them to build a 10-point lead there. But they got it under control and didn't let that last. And that's, again, partially due to Anthony Davis and what he was trying to do and leading this team. You've got to be thrilled with that. And again, 45 points, 16 rebounds, the second straight game with 45 plus and 15 more boards. And that is absolutely insane from the Pelicans' big man. But let's talk about the other guys on this team. We can wax rhapsodic about Anthony Davis, probably the entire podcast, and we're likely going to be doing this again tomorrow and Friday for Friday's podcast as well. But we got to look at some other guys on the team that are really stepping up at needed times, and the first name that comes to mind, we'll talk about DeMarcus Cousins in a minute, is going to be Ian Clark. Clark, who started the season out really hot for the Pelicans and looked like a great free agent signing, quickly fell into Alvin Gentry's doghouse and was receiving DNP coach's decision after only like a handful of games, and what was kind of surprising. And look, coaches' doghouses are kind of weird places. I don't really know what you have to do to get in them. And Alvin Gentry had said early on in the year that Ian Clark wasn't playing much or really at all because his shot wasn't falling. Well, he showed last night against the Boston Celtics that he doesn't need to just be a three-point shooter and a threat. Clark played 42 minutes in the game, only hit one three-pointer. Still put up 15 points. He was 7 of 10 overall. So when you do the math, he was 6 of 7 on non-three-point attempts. Didn't get to the line at all, but he was out there driving and trying to score at the rim and break down the defense and be just an attacking threat, which is what this team also needs with the inconsistency they've received. And we talked about that yesterday from Rajon Rondo and how he's been primarily a negative for the Pelicans while on the court right now. I'm going to wait to run the numbers to see the Ian Clark on-off stats with the Pels and see where he is, but you have to figure they're much better with him on the court. And going down the stretch, even though the Pelicans were kind of being wilted and chipped at by the Boston Celtics in the fourth quarter, before going into overtime, Ian Clark had a negative plus minus in there, but so did every Pelican, pretty much other than one, so it goes to show you. He was out there, though, with the closing unit. It was Drew Holiday, Ian Clark, Miller. You had Cousins and Davis out there, and that really worked, and that was what they needed. Also, Etuan Moore was in there as well. So Ian Clark getting big minutes, taking minutes from guys like Jameer Nelson, from Rajon Rondo. Again, Jameer Nelson was a DNP coach's decision, which is a good thing because he has been bad recently. But the Pelicans are maybe starting to find some lineups that are really working for them. So before we keep talking about the best win of the season for the Pelicans, fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on the draft app and playdraft.com are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site and app. No more getting crushed by the pros, and it's not just me. More than 1 million people have already downloaded the Draft app too. Play in a real live NBA draft right now, be done in under 5 minutes, and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling up every second, so you can join one whenever you want. That's right, it's a snake draft. This isn't a salary cap site where you're getting a player, this other guy's getting the same player, and probably a couple million other people are getting the same player. So if they do well, you have Anthony Davis, he puts up 45 points, does you no good because you need to find dark horses, you need to spend time doing your research, and only pros have the time to do that. You're smart sports fans. Go prove it by participating in a snake draft. You draft a player, you get him. You're the only one that reaps the benefits. And all new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code LOPELICANS. That's right, playing a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOPELICANS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Pelicans listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with the promo code LOPELICANS. So going back to the Pelicans' surprising 116-113 win in overtime over the Boston Celtics, Drew Holiday went out and had himself a game, particularly in crunch time as well, and overtime really too, so late in the fourth and overtime. Finished with 23 points on the night, 6 of 19 shooting, 3 of 5 from deep, with a couple of clutch 3 pointers. 7 assists as well, and only 2 turnovers. That's big. That's the type of play you want to see from Jrue Holiday. Now that he's been in the lineup for a while, in that off-guard kind of role, and really settling in, you see him driving more. His shots started to come back to him a little bit. He's not shooting under 25% from three. That number has risen. And he's being as impactful as you thought he might be. This is the player the Pelicans signed to a 5-year, $126-27 million deal. He has been outstanding over the past number of games and really the past 2 months for the Pelicans. And if he keeps it up like this, this is where maybe you could almost make the claim, we're going to talk about it with DeMarcus Cousins in a moment here, that Holiday could be the second best player on this Pelicans roster. DeMarcus Cousins struggled a little bit more tonight, but again, also came up big in crunch clutch time when you wouldn't necessarily expect him to do so because he hasn't done that. And that seems to be also when he falls apart late in games, particularly when he looks as exhausted as he did. 19 points on 7 of 20 shooting, so 19 points on 20 shots, not ideal, was 1 of 6 from 3, but at times made the right defensive play. He had 7 turnovers, not good, but the 3 steals were big. He grabbed big important rebounds in clutch situations and did a lot to get this win for the Pelicans, despite not having his best scoring night with the team here. It drives you a little insane when you see him play this well at certain times, because if he was this locked in on defense at times, even though there were a number of plays where he did nothing, closing out on the 3-point line and just how he lazily walks out there led to a wide open Jason Tatum 3 at one point. But look, it shows you the potential this team could have. They're looking at, they're a half game out of the 5th spot now in OKC in that. And you have to figure at this point, if they think they can keep this kind of play going, it might be a little bit tough tonight against the Atlanta Hawks. We'll talk about why towards the end of the podcast here. This team might be trying to make a run for the, you know, the 4th seed potentially over at the Spurs, depending on what happens with Kawhi Leonard and them. But, you know, again, they need to show that they can do this consistently, which is the maddening part of this season. This team all comes down to energy, effort, and all of that. And when they are clicking and they are on, they are near unbeatable, or at least going to be able to compete, as we saw last night against the Celtics, with the upper echelon of the NBA in almost any circumstances. When they look, they're not going to play perfect. That stretch in the 3rd quarter where they were taking too many threes and giving up too many threes usually is where they wilt. But like a boxer, they took a punch here, stayed on their feet, steadied themselves, and got back to what they needed to be doing in their game plan. Part of it being just give the damn ball to Anthony Davis. And it got them this win. That's what got them back in the game. You haven't seen that all year. Maybe this is starting to turn a corner. Maybe not. We've said this before, but the overtime win in Madison Square Garden against the Knicks, even though I don't think anyone's really sold on this Knicks team whatsoever, or even remotely, you're still in hostile territory. They haven't played particularly amazing on the road at times, so they're better on the road than at home. But to go then on few nights rest to Boston, who, even though they're coming back from London, had a big rest advantage, and to gut out a win like that and not wilt and not just kind of fold and get frustrated and kind of give up like they normally would have in adverse situations shows you a lot about the mental makeup of this team. So as we get closer and closer to the NBA trade deadline, I think we're under a month away now, we'll start to ramp up those topics here on Locked On Pelicans. But to give you a bit of a preview and to give you an idea of where I think the Pelicans might be headed and the direction they want to take there and what they might be trying to do, tune into the most recent Locked On NBA podcast. I went on there with host David Locke, talked a little bit about the Pelicans overall, and then talked about DeMarcus Cousins, the trade deadline, what we think the Pelicans might be doing. So give it a listen over at the Locked On NBA podcast. So fresh off that Pelicans win, let's have a little bit of fun here on the podcast and talk about a story that's in the NBA news right now. And that's the kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, locker room battle between the Houston Rockets and the Los Angeles Clippers that happened Monday night. And stories like this are why we love kind of the drama and then everything that surrounds the NBA, and why it's starting to hit this kind of level of NFL-ness where it's covered 24/7, 365, where the NFL is year round. The NBA is not quite there, but is certainly getting there with stories and things like this. You'll remember the Clippers were in that free agency struggle for DeAndre Jordan, where they were trying to lock him in a house and keep Mark Cuban away from him and all of that stuff. And this stuff is just silly and entertaining to watch, and we all love it. So I'm sure you've heard by now of the Houston Rockets trying to get into the Clippers locker room to bark and scream at them and maybe fight them, though nothing really happened. So I'm going to play you guys a clip before we have some fun with it here and relate it back to the Pelicans. This is Locked On Pelicans after all. But here's a clip from Ben Dubose, the local expert covering the Rockets in Houston, host of the Locked On Rockets podcast.
The real story last night was what happened off the floor, so I want to address that from the top. And in case anyone has not seen the report already, go to ESPN.com. Adrian Wojnarowski, the best reporter in the business, just happened to be in L.A. last night, got the scoop that after the game, four Rockets, James Harden, Trevor Ariza, Gerald Green, and who am I forgetting? Oh, Chris Paul, who allegedly led them through a secret tunnel, went to confront the Clippers in their locker room after the game. It did not get physical. Security was able to get in there and separate the teams before it did. But clearly the Rockets were not at all satisfied with how situations were dealt with during the game. They felt the need to go in and defend themselves. There's even a hilarious anecdote while this was going on, because Chris Paul, a former Clipper, knows Staples Center well, took them down one of the back tunnels to get to the LA locker room. Clint Capella, then wondering where his teammates were, went and knocked on the front door of the Clipper locker room to see what was going on. Someone opened the door, saw it was Clint Capella, who's a pretty intimidating guy at 6'10", then shut it in his face. Just a pretty, fortunately, we can laugh about it. I'm sure you've all seen the GIFs on Twitter, the reactions, and we can laugh about it because it didn't get physical. There was no long-lasting result. I don't want to say it's impossible for there to be a suspension, but if there are any suspensions, I would expect them to be of the one-game variety. Fortunately, security did its job, and I would never advocate violence. One of the sources, according to Woj, said it was classic NBA, that no one was actually willing to fight. It was more about making a statement. And from that standpoint, I'm pleased that the Rockets did it. There were several moments throughout the game that it got chippy. Of course, it was the first game for Chris Paul, who led the Rockets in scoring 19 points, also had 7 assists and 6 rebounds. It was his first game back at Staples Center to play the Clippers, his old team. And it got chippy from time to time between he and Blake Griffin, who I think most of us around the NBA realize did not have a good relationship. But there were two things in the second half of the game, as the Clippers began to pull away, that really stood out. First, there were players on the bench led by Austin Rivers and Pat Beverly who were not playing due to injury, but yet were incredibly cheeky. And it wasn't just routine trash talk, although you know, especially with Beverly and also Rivers involved, allegedly Austin Rivers and Blake Griffin were the guys that the Rockets went into the locker room seeking out and wanting to confront. But those guys on the bench in street clothes, besides just normal talking trash, which is kind of ridiculous and weak, or you're not even able to play in the game. But in addition to that, folks, they were on the court. I retweeted screenshots. There were times that actually they even grabbed a couple of times, made contact with Trevor Ariza. That's why I thought he in particular was not pleased by what was going on that bench. And the officials had every opportunity to step in and take control of the situation. They did not. They didn't even whistle the Clippers for a tee. For the bench essentially being on the court for long stretches of the second half, it was the Clippers Super Bowl. I guess good for them. They were able to get the win. But there were a lot of unprofessional things happening, and the officials did not properly defuse and take care of the situations. The flip side, boy, with 4 minutes left, Blake Griffin, he's the other part of this equation. According to Mike D'Antoni, he thinks that Blake intentionally made contact with him. If you review the slow-mo camera, I've retweeted some of that onto my timeline. It sure looks like, and you can see D'Antoni react live saying, F you, which is something that I've followed Mike a long time. He's usually a very stoic guy. It takes a lot other than typical just barking at the officials. I have never seen Mike D'Antoni turn on an opposing player or coach like that. So for D'Antoni to elicit that, for that to elicit that reaction out of D'Antoni tells you that it was a pretty serious situation, and somehow Griffin was not even ejected for that. Now, he was eventually ejected in a skirmish with about a minute left between Griffin and Trevor Ariza, and that probably spilled over into the locker room. But I think the key theme in this, there were some continuing themes, most notably with Blake Griffin and the guys on the bench, led by Austin Rivers, that were not properly addressed by the officiating crew during the game. I think the Rockets, did they seek out a fight? Probably not. As the source told Woj, I think it was a lot of classic NBA barking. But I think they wanted to make a statement, and truth be told, I have no problem with them doing that, because, folks, the officials had every opportunity to take control of this game, and they didn't. So if you work within the proper channels, and those channels don't do their job to kind of diffuse the situation, at some point you do need to stand up for yourself, and that's what I think the Rockets did. By the way, these two teams play again in Houston on, I believe, February 28th, another nationally televised game, and I think we can all look forward to seeing that and how it's going to play out when these two teams get back together on the basketball floor again, following, of course, what happened post-game last night.
So thanks again to Ben for that clip. Go check him out more over at the Locked On Rockets podcast to find out what's going on with their season. James Harden's out. There's a lot going on there. You guys want to know. They're a division rival here for the Pelicans, so it's worth, again, listening to the Locked On Rockets podcast. So the funny thing sounds here that they sent Clint Capela to go knock on the front of the door to the locker room while Chris Paul led his secretive strike team, the breach team, to the back entrance to the locker room through some secret tunnel or something like that, away from the media and other prying eyes, for like a sneak attack. I don't really know what happened. I've read a few more stories about this, and I don't want to know the truth, because this is so much more fun when you think about this Trojan horse being rolled up to the front while someone goes in the back door to try and, I don't know, again, fight, even though it sounds like it was just a lot of posturing and nothing was really going to happen. So this got me thinking, though. If the Pelicans were to try and invade, and the whole reason I'm calling it a breach team here is apparently there were people running around the Staples Center Monday night screaming, the Clippers locker room has been breached, and just completely overdoing all of this, which is just, again, more fun in general as well. So what would the distraction team be for the Pelicans? What would the breach team be for the Pelicans if they needed to send a statement to an opposing team? So before we even get to the actual teams, we do need names. We've got to have code names and code words, of course, for our distraction team and the breach team. The distraction team, I've decided as imaginary head of the Pelican strike operations, is King Cake Baby, or KCP. And the breach team is known as Old Pierre, or OP. King Cake Baby, the lovable mascot we're going to soon be seeing now that it's carnival season. I have two king cakes on the counter next to me here, by the way. Delicious. So, of course, the lovable, kind of creepy and distracting mascot kind of gets in your head a little bit. Perfect for the distraction team. Old Pierre, that terrifying mascot that looked like he wanted to eat your children with the blood-red beak, strikes fear into everyone. When that thing were to pop through and came out behind the curtain for the first time or out of the tunnel, people were terrified. Nothing better to send a statement than naming the breach team Old Pierre. Not new lovable happy face Pierre after his cosmetic surgery during the All-Star game or break or whatever it was here in New Orleans. But the old Pierre, that blood red, scary face, OP for our breach team, is definitely going to be the name. So I put it out on Twitter the other day. What are your teams? And I actually think this is pretty easy, but you might have a different idea than I do. So let me know on Twitter at Nola Jake or through the podcast Twitter account at Locked On Pels. I think, though, this is pretty simple, and I think you guys hopefully are going to agree with me. And again, I'm in charge, so, you know, we've got to respect the chain of command here with me being at the top. The distraction team, or KCP King Cake Baby, KCP KCB, I must have been saying that wrong the last bit here, KCB, is pretty simple. You send Alexi Ajinsa and Omer Asik. One, the opposing team's not going to know really what to do here. Two, you've got the height, which is kind of good. I think that's partially why they sent Clint Capela to kind of distract people. A 6'10 dude at the door who's kind of banging on it might kind of throw you off a little bit. But I like mainly the distraction factor because, one, you don't know what's going to happen with these two guys. You don't trust them enough to get on the strike team, on the old Pierre team, old P. So you've got to put them at the door. But the reason is, I actually don't even want them opening the door. I am so confident in the old Pierre team that I'd rather have them just barricade the door with their bodies, going all Hodor on us here, for the old Pierre team to come in and take care of business. I don't know, fight people, scare people, whatever we're doing. We're not violent here, just to give them a good old-fashioned scare. But whatever the old Pierre team is trying to do, they're going to be damn effective at it. And this is just a four-man unit here. We don't need numbers or anything like that because we've got the right guys on this roster. It's simple. It's Anthony Davis, it's DeMarcus Cousins, it's Rajon Rondo, and it's Tony Allen. What more do you need on a team designed to scare people or win a fight? You have two huge big dudes that are athletic, and one of them is just absolutely terrifying, it would feel like, when he's angry in DeMarcus Cousins. You've got Rondo, who can kind of be that swarmy, like, right guy in a fight, who's so smart he knows what to do. He's kind of calibrated in all the moves he's going to have. And Tony Allen, who's going to go straight up Rambo on people, I think. So pretty simple. I don't know if there's a better combination than that in the league. You've got Davis, Cousins, Rondo, and Allen busting into the locker room and nowhere for the opponent to run because you've got 2 7-footers, one over 7 foot, just barricading the door. I mean, come on. That's, going to win. I don't know if there's better combination in the league. If you think there is, or if you think you've got a better combo for the Pelicans, let me know again on Twitter, at Nola Jake or at Locked On Pels. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Best win of the season for the Pels. We are going to find out if they turn the corner. We didn't even get to touch on the Atlanta Hawks game tonight. Look, this is where we're going to know if this Pelicans team is actually turning the corner. This is the second night of a back-to-back after their biggest stars have logged heavy minutes over the past two games. Are they going to come out and just kind of step on the throats of this Hawks team that they should beat, get out to a big lead, just get business done and go home? Are they going to falter at certain times, or are they going to maybe just come out with an attitude that they think they're better than this Hawks team and they don't really need to try hard to get the win? Depending on what happens here, I think this is, again, we've been here before, which is the frustrating thing. It looked like the Pelicans were about to turn the corner. Then they have a disappointing loss. They've had three separate three-game win streaks this year and have lost the fourth game on them every single time. So again, this is really going to tell us whether or not this team is mentally locked in, because that is what is stopping this team from being a true competitor, at least in my opinion, and I think the opinions of most in the Western Conference. So thank you all for listening to today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. As always, I'm Pelicans insider Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow to talk about the Pelicans some more.